From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the president is doubling down after his combative meeting with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer over border security yesterday. In a tweet this morning, the president pointed to the terrorist attack in France as another warning that America needs to get serious about security. Are congressional Republicans lining up in support of the president? Is a government shutdown becoming more likely? In just a moment, we'll talk with Congressman Ralph Norman of South Carolina. Also, after modifications were agreed to, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky announced yesterday the Senate will take up the First Step Act, a bipartisan bill that aims to reduce the number of people in the nation's crowded federal prisons. We'll talk with Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant, who has already led his state in similar state-based reforms. And yesterday, we reported on the congressional hearing involving Google, which in part to the hearing explored their partnership with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Today, it was reported that the tech giant has approved an app created by the Indonesian government designed primarily for Muslims to report people who commit blasphemy, which will most likely fuel greater religious intolerance in places like Indonesia. We'll talk with Paul Marshall, Fellow for Religious Freedom at the Hudson Institute, a little bit later. Stay away from that afternoon coffee. And we'll be taking your phone calls as well a little bit later here on Washington Watch. Let me remind you, from now until the end of the year, we have a challenge match. A generous donor has put forward $500,000 to match anything you give between now and the end of the year. That means $25 becomes $50, $100 becomes $200. This program is a part of Washington Watch, is a part of the Family Research Council, and it's made possible solely because of folks like you who stand with us in partnership. We've got folks standing by to take your phone call today. 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008, if you would like to partner with the Family Research Council. All right, after a tense meeting with President Trump in the Oval Office yesterday, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi privately mocked Trump with Democrats. Chuck Schumer took to the Senate floor as well, suggesting that there's a lot of distance between the president and the two Democratic leaders. Joining us now to talk more about this is Congressman Ralph Norman. He represents the 5th Congressional District of South Carolina. He is a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, glad to be here, Tony. Thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you, sir. The president does not seem to be backing away at all from his commitment that he is going to stand firm in demanding that Congress put forth funding for border security.
No, and first of all, I'm just glad there were a lot of us clapping when he did what he did. You talk about transparency in government, that was transparency at its height. And secondly, he knows, as well as the rest of the country, once the gavel passes on January 3rd to the Democrats, the likelihood of getting any kind of funding for a wall is not going to be there. So I'm glad he's doing what he's doing. I think the fact that he said it like he did, he can't back down from it now, nor would he want to. And I think now the sentiment from people I've talked with is it will be a shutdown. And, I'm quite frankly, I'm glad. We'll sit up here till, as long as it takes to get this passed. And tell me what's sad, Obama found $150 billion to give to a rogue country like Iran, and here we are, $5 billion to secure our borders. Doesn't make sense.
I would think that Chuck Schumer, who has a history with Donald Trump, knows that poking him does not provoke a positive response. I mean, he took to the Senate floor to say that the president is so used to advisors who fail to dispel his false and made-up facts that he lives in a cocoon of his own truth. He goes on to say that he and Nancy Pelosi had to tell him, no, Mr. President, that's not true. We had to puncture that cocoon. Both he and Nancy Pelosi challenging his manhood And, you know, Chuck Schumer going after him, saying he can't, he has all yes men around him. I actually think they're causing the president to dig in on this if he weren't already. I don't see any movement here. So I think you're absolutely right. I think we're headed toward a shutdown.
Yeah, and we should. I mean, and really, why is this even debatable? I mean, what reason could any logical thinking person give for not having a country with that secure? And you know, they get hung up on semantics. They want a wall. They want fencing. They want, you know, alternate things. But instead of a wall, but the bottom line is, he's going to get his $5 billion. Or we'll sit up here to secure the borders. And, you know, the reality of it is where the topo is such that, like the mountainous part of the 2,000-mile stretch, you won't have a wall because nobody can come across it anyway. But where there's a ravine, I mean, there are other options for it. But, no, I think he's dug in. I think we're going to be facing that, and I think that's a good thing.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Ralph Norman, my guest. Congressman from South Carolina, discussing the president in basically a standoff with Chuck Schumer, the minority leader in the Senate, and Nancy Pelosi, the perceived to be incoming speaker of the House of Representatives. I was talking with the chairman of the Freedom Caucus yesterday at the White House at an event we were at in Mark Meadows, and it sounds like the Freedom Caucus is in agreement on this. They stand with the president. But I wonder how much broader is the support among the ranks of the Republicans. They're going to have to stand with him to see this happen.
Yeah, and time will tell. But I think they will be. I mean, think about it. This is what this president campaigned on. It's what he told the American people. He's just the American people put Donald Trump in office because of that being a major factor, along with the fact that he was an outsider and not a politician. But, no, I think he's got to deliver on it. And I think we'll Schumer and Pelosi judged wrong when they thought they could challenge him. He doesn't bluff. He positions himself a lot of times with his words, but that's a good thing too. He's a businessman. So now, I'm excited about it, and I think we'll get it done. We have to, because another 2 years of open borders is not fair for the country. It's not fair for law enforcement, and it's just got to be done.
And Congressman Norman, I've made this point on the program before. I actually think it's good for another reason, not only for the merits of the issue itself. Absolutely, we've got to have that border security. But I also think it's good to set the parameters of the debate going into the next Congress, the 116th Congress, that this president is not going to allow the minority to rule in terms of the Democratic Party to control what happens in his administration. So I think that's a positive outcome of this debate. But let's talk about what's actually involved here. This deal has to be done by December the 21st. That's
correct.
When the current continuing resolution expires. But we're only talking about one quarter of the government because the bulk of the spending bills have already gotten through. So we're talking about Homeland Security, Transportation, Agriculture, State Department, and Justice, as well as the National Parks. So we're not talking about government screeching to a halt. Most people would never even know that this had occurred. So I think it's a good time to have the fight. My one concern, and this goes to your colleagues because I've seen it before, December the 21st is just a few days before Christmas, and they're going to be antsy to get out of here. And I'm concerned that some of them may get a little weak when we get to the 21st.
Well, I hope not. I mean, an issue that's this important to the country. We were elected, you know, to vote and to do a job, and it didn't come with parameters that you know, you couldn't. Some days are off limits for that. We do what we have to do, and I think that's hopefully what we'll do with this. And like you mentioned, when you say government shutdown, people don't realize Social Security payments still go, Medicare payments still are go, Medicaid payments are go. So now what is sad about a government shutdown is the border security is not paid. And when it happened before, they worked just without pay, which is admirable on their part. But, no, I mean, we were forced into a corner. You know, you had the argument that let's let the midterms get by and then face this challenge face the issue with immigration. And that's what happened. And it's ridiculous doing a CR on something this big anyway. But, you know, it is what it is. And we, you know, no business could run on two-week budgets. Families can't do it. But that's where we are. And we'll just we'll deal with it.
Congressman Norman, one final question. I want to switch gears just a little bit. As a member of the House Small Business Committee, I mean, it is the small businesses that are really the engine that drive our economy. I know everybody talks about the big businesses that employ thousands, but collectively, when you look at the small businesses, that's really what America's economy is made up of. Are you confident that you're going to be able to protect the tax changes that have been made, defend the regulatory reductions that this administration has done under the new leadership in the 116th Congress?
Well, I'm confident that what we passed and we discussed today in a meeting to codify the existing tax code that we put in, or changes to the tax policy, and codify that before we leave, and hopefully we've got support to vote on it next week. No, as far as the new administration, are the Democrats going to not try to have one regulation on top of another? No, they will. That's just the way they are. If you see the agenda that they've laid out, it's if you think Dodd-Frank was bad, they'll be proposing regulations that make Dodd-Frank look weak, which it wasn't. So, thank God we got Donald Trump in office. Thank God we've got a Senate that's going to have, instead of a one-vote margin, you'll have hopefully four or five. So that's the good news, and hopefully there'll be a backstop against what the Democrats do. And I will be trying to get on financial services, and Maxine Waters will head that committee. And to see her agenda is pretty scary, but we're going to fight. And again, the good news is we got a Senate now. We got a president that's willing to fight.
So if you want to be on Maxine's committee, you must be a glutton for punishment. That's I could sit through those committee hearings.
Well, Ralph, we're going to do what we can to stop her left-wing policies, as we are on other committees that we'll be facing.
And I'm grateful for that. It was tongue-in-cheek, but I am grateful that you're willing to hold the line, because it's definitely going to be a battle. Ralph Norman, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well. All right, folks, I tell you, the Senate's going to have to get a little tougher, though, because a lot of this stuff, despite Republican opposition in the House, is going to go through, and it's going to go to the Senate, and that's where the fight's going to have to take place. Next to that, it'll be the president vetoing it. And you got to sustain an override, which I think in most cases we can. All right, coming up next, long-stalled legislation on sentencing reform may make its way through Congress now. When we come back, the governor of Mississippi, our good friend Phil Bryant, who has already led a successful state version of this, joins us to talk about why it's important. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
We're inviting you to join other like-minded people and become a Stan member. We want to build stronger relationships with listeners like you and provide resources to strengthen your faith and equip you to stand for the values that matter to you of life, marriage, and religious freedom. By joining this growing network of engaged believers, you'll receive a copy of Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, detailing courageous Christians standing for truth. And for a limited time this month, we will also send you a copy of Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray, that illustrates how God's power can change everything. Take action today and become an FRC Stan member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. That's 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. Thank you for partnering with us. The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Merry Christmas and welcome to Washington Watch. 13 days until Christmas. I hope you are in the Christmas spirit. In fact, I hope you stay in it. Just gives us another reason to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to earth to save mankind from our sin, restore our relationship with our Creator. Well, speaking of second chances, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has reversed course and said the Senate would have a vote on criminal justice reform bill, which deals with sentencing and prison reform, that this would happen by the end of the year. Now, this would be a quite significant bipartisan achievement that has eluded lawmakers for years. It's called the First Step Act. Now, it had some opposition from conservatives. It's been tweaked mostly on the sentencing reform part when it comes to violent criminals. That's been changed to where now it appears most are on board. With us now is our good friend, Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant, who actually pioneered a way forward on a very similar legislation at the state level there in Mississippi. Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony, so much, and thank you for having us this afternoon. Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you, sir. Merry Christmas to you as well down there in the Magnolia State. You feel very passionate about this.
I do, and I'm a former law enforcement officer, Tony. So I've put a lot of people in jail back in the 1970s, working with the DEA undercover narcotics when I was at the sheriff's department, and so I actually had to put friends of mine I'd gone to high school with in jail because of their addiction with drugs. When I became state auditor, we sent white collar criminals to jail, people who had taken money from the public coffers, and so I would see what happened to their family. And so when you send someone to prison, their family goes along with them, right, in a sense, emotionally. So I realized that what we were doing at a state level and a federal level, along with governors like Rick Perry in Texas, who helped lead the way, and Nathan Deal in Georgia, who did a remarkable job in criminal justice reform. So we took this on in 2014 and said, you know, what we're doing in Mississippi only works 25% of the time. 95% of the inmates now in custody in the federal system and state system will be released one day. 95%. 75% of them will go out and affect another crime. They will break the law somehow and end back up in jail because it's so hard to reenter society in today's system that we have with the criminal justice system. So I realize that no government program should have to tell the taxpayers we only work 25% of the time. Only 25% of the time are we successful and recidivizing the inmates that are in our custody. So that drove me on, seeing personally what had happened, understanding that there was a better way that Texas, Georgia, other states had helped us show. And so in 2014, with a bipartisan vote, we passed the Smart on Crime. I call it the Right on Crime Act because we're working for the taxpayers. We're helping reduce the recidivism rate. So it's 75%. Think about it, cutting that in half. That means you've reduced crime because those are the people committing the crime more than likely. So you've cut it by 35%. So we've saved $40 million since 2014. We've reduced our prison population by 11%, and our violent crimes are below the national average in Mississippi by a great margin. We're number 36 in America, Alaska being number one. This is a list you don't want to be number one on. So it's been a tremendous success. So I've been working with the president for 6-7 months now, and Jared Kushner in the First Step Act. It is that, just a first step. As you said earlier, it's now coming to the Senate floor. I want to thank Ted Cruz, my dear friend from Texas, and Senator Mike Lee, who's been working. Mike Lee's been working on this for years now. But Ted Cruz has stepped up and clarified. Now, we, from the very beginning, have said a couple of things. One, this is not for violent criminals. So violent criminals need not apply. Number two, this will not be for anyone that's an illegal immigrant that needs to be deported but first serve his time here. So those two categories are left out. It will not be for people who are dealing fentanyl or opioids. So they're not included in this process. But those that are nonviolent, that have an opportunity for the first step back into society, we want to be able to help them. Ted Cruz's amendment clearly clarifies that it will be nonviolent offenders. No drug dealers will be there. No illegal immigrants will be in this system. But it will be a way of moving forward for the taxpayers and great organizations like American for Prosperity, the National Review, Faith and Freedom Coalition. All are helping join us in this bipartisan movement.
Yeah, I think Ted's amendment helped clarify some of that. I had Tom Cotton on the program a couple of weeks ago. He was opposed to it. I had concerns, you know, a very similar background to yours. I was a sheriff's deputy, but my first assignment before going onto the road was in the prison, which makes me very sympathetic for prison reform and the necessity for that. In fact, when I was in the legislature in Louisiana, authored legislation on the reentry side of this to help faith-based groups partner more directly with the state to help in that transition, because you're absolutely right, when the recidivism rate is so high, it's a revolving door on our prison. So this is long overdue. I do think that Ted's amendment makes this clear. It is not for violent criminals. This is nonviolent. And I, quite frankly, don't think we should be locking up nonviolent offenders. I think we should be making them pay restitution and make good on the bad that they did, not perfecting their criminal skills in prison.
Exactly. Get them clean and sober. Get them back in school so they can complete a GED or complete even a workforce training certificate program. So then you make sure that they're carefully monitored. So they have to make sure that we check in with technology today. As you know, I can get you on the on my cell phone and look at you and talk to you anytime, day or night. The technology is advancing to where we can identify exactly where your automobile's at, where you're at. But we need these individuals that can get back into society. You know, as a Christian, we have to believe in redemption. And there are those that I had an aunt that was kidnapped, raped, and murdered. So that person should never get out of prison. In fact, I'd hope that the capital punishment laws would have been in effect for him. But he's still in prison, and as long as I'm alive, he always will be. But there are those that have committed drug offenses, possession of narcotics, for example. This opioid crisis is now filling our federal and state jails, 215,000. So it's time that we do something that's right on crime, and the first step is just that, the first step in the right direction.
All right, Governor, got to leave it there. Out of time.
You
Merry
bet.
Christmas to you, my friend. Don't go away, folks. We're back after this.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for joining us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And by the way, we still have folks standing by to take your phone call if you would like to participate in the challenge match. This program is on the air because of folks like you. Give us a call, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008. Folks standing by to take your call. All right, a new app that has been approved by Google. It was created by the Indonesian government. It allows primarily Muslims to report individuals who commit blasphemy or insult Islam or other official religions. The Google Play Store approved the latest version of the app. And it's the concern here is that this will only further incite potential cases of violence, especially when the stuff's not accurate. Joining us now is Paul Marshall. He is he's a Wilson Professor of Religious Freedom at Baylor University and is also with the Hudson Institute. Paul, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much for having me, Tony.
Paul, I'm certain that given your history in religious freedom, especially when you have these blasphemy laws, that you're concerned about Google partnering with Indonesia to create this app.
It's terrifying, and there's two things. As you mentioned in your intro, this isn't just an app. This was an app created by the Indonesian government, in fact, the prosecutor's office. And it
Which has a bad reputation.
Yes, it does, in these areas. And the app isn't just a form to fill in if you think this blasphemy. It lists certain banned organizations and lists religious edicts to sort of, you know, help you spot someone doing something bad. And, you know, this is now available free on a Google App Store. And this, it's bad enough the Indonesian government doing it, but for Google to make this freely available is terrible.
Now, when we talk about blasphemy laws, just to give people context of how these are used, now it wasn't Indonesia, it was Pakistan, but that's where Asia Bibi was charged with blasphemy and was in prison for 8 years, sentenced to die. This only further I think it raises the use of blasphemy laws, where you get in a fight with your neighbor, you don't like your neighbor because they're of a different faith, and you use this app to communicate to the government, possibly falsely, that someone committed blasphemy.
Yes, and you know, there's a stunning case which I know you know about it. The former governor of Jakarta, the capital of Indonesia, Ahok, was convicted of blasphemy almost 2 years ago. And basically through someone editing on YouTube one of his speeches and garbled it up and then accused him of blasphemy. The man who accused him, by the way, is now in prison for making false charges. But Ahok remained in prison, so that you have a situation that... people may be concerned about blasphemy, about insulting God, but these laws can easily be used. I don't think that should be illegal either, but these laws can be used and misused in so many ways to settle grievances and now to go after political enemies. And this is a developing thing right now in Indonesia.
Well, these blasphemy laws in general are used by religious majorities to suppress religious minorities and to strip them of their freedoms in many of these Islamic majority countries.
They are. You get, you mentioned Pakistan, that with Asia Bibi, she's a Christian, and you find that while Pakistan is 98% Muslim, disproportionately, you get Christians or Hindus or a unusual sect of Islam, the Ahmadiyya.
Right.
They are 100 times more likely to get accused of blasphemy than majority Muslims are.
The social media should be moving in a different direction, because social media is like pouring gasoline on a fire when we look at these charges of blasphemy, because we've seen cases in Pakistan, India, and elsewhere where false allegations have led to literally the burning of villages, the murder of people, only to find out that they weren't true. And social media can only cause those things to move more rapidly and the damage more extensive.
Yeah, and it's and as you pointed out, there are blasphemy laws which are bad, but much more dangerous than the law is a terrorist or a mob. You know, in Pakistan, nobody's actually since those laws came in the 1980s, nobody's actually been executed for blasphemy in Pakistan, but people have been torn to pieces and burned alive by mobs. Or when they're in prison, the police put them with criminals and say this person's a blasphemer, and they end up dead. So this is the sort of thing that mob attacks and terrorist attacks, this is the sort of thing that social media encourages. And that's also happened in Indonesia, attacks on attacks on Shiite Muslims. You know, Indonesia's majority Sunni, there's about 1% Shiite, may have suffered attacks and condemnation on social media. So this combination,
Paul, we're,
of...
Paul, we're up against the break. Can you hold on for just a second?
Can indeed, sir.
Okay. All right, folks. Paul Marshall is going to hang around. I hope you will as well. We're going to finish this conversation with him and then go to the phone lines. Don't go away.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom. Together, we will work to protect life, marriage, and religious liberty in our country. If you give before December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled. Be fruitful in your gift-giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Don't miss your opportunity to join other like-minded people and become an FRC Stand member. Join today and you'll receive empowering resources like Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, and for a limited time, Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray. So become an FRC Stand member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. Thank you for partnering with us for the sake of America.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to
welcome back to Washington like Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Merry Christmas. 13 days, to be exact, until Christmas. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Let me remind you, as we approach the end of the year, Family Research Council is the organization which is behind Washington Watch, and you are the reason Family Research Council is here. Folks like you across the country that are supporting us, making Washington Watch possible. No government money here. All donations coming from Americans who care deeply about faith, family, and freedom. So if you'd like to make a year-end contribution between now and the end of the year, we have a generous donor that has said they'll match what you give. So give us a call. We've got folks standing by right now to take your call, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Or you can go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, or you can go to frc.org/2018. All right, talking about Google. I'm going to go to the phone lines here in just a moment when I finish with Paul Marshall as we're talking about this disturbing development that Google has approved an app created by the Indonesian government that facilitates reports of blasphemy. Now, Paul is a professor of religious freedom at Baylor University, also associated with the Hudson Institute. He's also the author of Persecuted, the Global Assault on Christians. And, Paul, you write about how these false allegations of, you know, blasphemy or defacing a Quran or something leads to these mob attacks in places like Pakistan and in India that lead to deaths and destruction. And the problem is oftentimes the government doesn't do this, but they turn a blind eye to it. And what's disturbing about this is that by Indonesia doing this, it facilitates that type of behavior. And Google is becoming a partner in this by approving this app.
Yes, it is. And just making a point we mentioned earlier, you know, this app is free. You don't even have to buy it. You just go to Google's App Store. And there it is. And on the other side, with the Indonesian government, with the prosecutor's office doing this, they say, well, this makes it easier for people to report things rather than filling out a form and giving it to the police. That's true. But they haven't made it easier for people to report, you know, murder or rape or theft or these other things. It's this singling out of accusations of blasphemy for preferential treatment, which is worrying both the victims, and then it produces tremendous divisions in society. And we saw this especially 2 years ago in the governor's election. And this is going to erupt. There's a presidential election going on right now in Indonesia, and we're going to see accusations of blasphemy raised against political figures. In fact, it's already happened. And so we're going to get a lot of social division and conflict created by this. And this happens in other countries where you have blasphemy laws as well.
How extensive are these blasphemy laws, Paul? How many countries have these laws?
Explicit, I couldn't give you an exact number. Blasphemy and related laws, over 100. Because some of the laws don't specify blasphemy. In Indonesia, it's, you know, insulting a religion. Or in somewhere like Iran, they have dozens of charges. And, you know, one of them could be insulting Islamic sanctities or friendship with or being an enemy of God. Mm-hmm. And that's a criminal offense in Iran. So that we're actually not looking at one specific type of law, but a range of laws which want to restrict and punish speech which might be thought critical of religion.
But it has the effect of annihilating religious freedom. It's intimidating, and it is the opposite of, you know, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which suggests that that religious freedom is a fundamental human right, and people have a right to change their religion if they see fit. This is moving in the totally opposite direction.
It is. The effect is it forbids criticism, disagreement, and argument about religion. And that makes it very difficult to change. You know, most of these accusations now are in the Muslim majority world.
Right.
And what happens is that the reactionaries accuse, it's not a good word, but accuse the moderates. They're the ones who are usually accused of this. So it's a weapon in the hands of people who support terrorism or very reactionary forms of Islam to silence reformers. And so you get Islamic reformers, hundreds of them, who are thrown into prison. You get this in Saudi Arabia again, Pakistan, Iran, Egypt, Afghanistan.
Yeah, so I think that's
a
very important
weapon as well.
That's a very important point, that this is used not just against Christians and Hindus, but as you mentioned earlier, against Muslims, the various minority Muslim sects. This is used against them as well, and it only fuels a more radical view of Islam that is intolerant toward others.
Yeah, it does. There was one man, a chap in a book, Nina Shea, my colleague, and I wrote on blasphemy, a book called Silenced. And we included a brief essay by a man, Abu Zayd, who had to flee Egypt for his life. He was accused of being a blasphemer. And he was a Muslim and wrote careful books. He was a professor about how one interprets the Quran and Muslim history. And he was and is a devout Muslim. People in the Muslim Brotherhood didn't like what he said, and so they brought accusations against him that he was a blasphemer. So you see these patterns being repeated, or even if we're just mentioning Egypt, the only Arab Nobel Prize winner for literature, who was stabbed and paralyzed by radical groups who thought that his novels were for blasphemous. So you get this in terms of debate within Islam, blasphemy restrictions give the radicals the upper hand.
Wow. And this is just unbelievable that Google would facilitate that. I mean, if they're supposed to be all about freedom and speech and so on and so forth. Paul Marshall, so great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today. And I appreciate all
Thank
the work
you
that
me,
you've
Tom.
Done. Let me just say, I appreciate all the work you've done on this issue of religious freedom. It's been I've read a lot of your stuff and deeply appreciate the work you've done.
Thank you so much, Tony. I appreciate your work, too. Bye-bye.
Paul Marshall. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. In fact, the book I mentioned, Persecuted, let me see if I'll pull it back up here again, Persecuted, the Global Assault on Christians. It's about 5 years old, but it really goes into the depth of the problem globally. All right, I'm going to take a few phone calls here, 866-372-7234. And here's what I want to talk about here in our few moments remaining. Is it irresponsible of Google to do this, to facilitate what Indonesia is doing when it comes to these blasphemy laws? I mean, unbelievable. All right, 866-372-7234, the number to call to get on the conversation on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's go. I got a couple of calls already holding, and I'm going to take those. Might be at a different topic, but let's go to Florence in Indiana. Florence, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good evening, Tony. On that prison release, you know, there would be more space and less ones in there. Those that are on death row, when they are proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they've committed a murder and things, when they give the death sentence, if they would carry it out instead of leaving them set in jail for 25, 30 years, there'd be more room in the jails.
Well, fair point, Florence, because what happens with many of these cases that are drug out on procedural grounds for year after year, that by the time that a criminal is sentenced, the criminal becomes a victim, you know, in the eyes of many. They're made into a victim when they are the ones that perpetrated a heinous crime. Justice should be thorough. It should be swift, meaning that, you know, yes, it should be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. But at some point, it doesn't take 30 years to do that. Florence, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Missouri, where Dustin is on the line. Dustin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you very much. I just want to say that Google is complicit to deaths now as they're getting involved in this. Petitions in regards to stopping this would be helpful. Let Google know that we don't want to be a part of this. Most of us are so ensconced in Google anyways with fiber and all that. So it's very, very frustrating, and they're getting away with complicity to murder. So.
Yeah, good point, Dustin. We were actually discussing that this morning. What is the best way to get Google's attention on this? We've reached out to their lobbyists. This is, I watched the hearing yesterday that the Google CEO was involved in on Capitol Hill, and we talked about that yesterday, and I'm concerned about some of the stuff they're doing domestically. But this is what got my blood going. Boiling, because as you said, Dustin, they're complicit with what could end up being causing people's deaths. I mean, they're facilitating this. Even if the app itself doesn't lead to deaths, it is going to lead to furthering the use of these blasphemy laws, which do lead to mobs going after people. It suppresses religious freedom,
right,
which is the opposite of the direction that Google should be supportive of. Dustin, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you. Yep. Thanks for listening. And the whole thing with religious freedom, we've talked about this before, but nations that embrace religious freedom also, and these are academic studies that show this. So this is not anecdotal. It's not just my take on it. It is the academic studies that show that nations that respect and protect religious freedom economically are better off. They are they have greater stability, and it's a much more positive outcomes. And so we should be encouraging that direction, not moving in the other direction. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad that you have joined us. I just lost my call screening program, so Greg, you're going to have to help me out if we get for the next. All right. Let's take. Let's go to Paul. Paul, welcome to Washington Watch. Paul, you there? All right. Well, Paul disappeared. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get on the conversation here in our final moments together on this Wednesday afternoon as we're talking about Google facilitating an app by Indonesia that will allow people to basically snitch on their neighbors and others who might be, in their eyes, involved in blasphemy. And as we were talking about, this is not always true. It sometimes is not accurate, and this just facilitates the not just the reporting, but the use of these blasphemy laws. I think it's the height of irresponsibility for Google to be doing this. They should be doing the opposite. They should be encouraging religious freedom, religious tolerance. It's my view. That's what I think. All right, folks. Let me say, I hope you are enjoying this time of year, and that as we move toward Christmas, you are intentional about spending time with family and with friends, and also use this as an opportunity to share the real reason for Christmas. Don't hesitate to talk about what Christmas is about. It's about the birth of a Savior who came to this earth as a gift from God to take away the sins of the world. And by placing our faith in Him, we can receive that forgiveness and have new life. It's a gift. Can't earn it. I can't chase it down. It's given to us. Take the opportunity to talk about that with family and friends this year as you gather at whether it's company parties, family retreats, whatever it might be. Remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. All right, folks, hope you have a great evening. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, and you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand. By all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.